Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at Abraham this morning. And as it's Father's Day, I ought to say that Abraham is the father of our faith. And Genesis 17 tells us that he's the father of many nations. So chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this time that we spend with you. Thank you that your word is precious. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would fill my words with your Holy Spirit, that the truth might be spoken, and that we might be changed. So, loving God, we pray your blessing on this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin by taking a look at the life of one of the greatest men in the Bible. His name is Abraham, whom God renamed Abraham. And his story is told in Genesis chapters 12 to 25. We only have time to look at the first 9 verses in chapter 12. And when I say he's one of the greatest men in the Bible, I don't think this is an exaggeration. For outside the Lord Jesus Christ, a very good argument could be made that Abraham is the most important person in the Bible. Consider these facts. He is revered by followers of 3 world religions: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. He is the founder of the nation of Israel. He is mentioned by name 308 times in the Old and New Testaments. He is the preeminent man of faith in the Bible. He is a man whose life changed the course of world history. And consider one further point. Abraham is the most important person in the Old Testament, while Jesus Christ is the most important in the New Testament. How does the New Testament begin? The first verse of the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel says this: "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." When Matthew wants to impress upon us the significance of who Jesus Christ really is, he links him with the greatest king, David, and with the founder of Israel, Abraham. In order to understand Abraham's life, we have to go back to a time long ago and far away, back to a place called Ur of the Chaldees, which was a large city on the banks of the Euphrates River. The river still exists. It flows through Iraq and empties into the Persian Gulf, not far from Kuwait. There is only one way to describe Ur of the Chaldees. It was a world-class city. Archaeologists tell us that in Abraham's day, perhaps 250,000 people lived there. It was the center of mathematics, astronomy, commerce, and philosophy. People from outlying areas moved to Ur because they wanted to be a part of that great city. It was also a center of pagan worship, and evidence has been unearthed to show that most of the people of Ur worshipped the moon goddess called Nana. We know from other places in the Old Testament that Abraham's family were idol worshippers, which must have meant that Abraham himself was an idolater. What else do we know about Abraham as the story begins. He's about 75 years old when we meet him, which in those days would be considered middle-aged. He's a prosperous businessman, well known to many people. He's married to Sarah, and they have no children. As far as we know, Abraham is not looking for God at all. But God was looking for him. Above everything else, that's the important point of our text. Abraham's life changed when God found him and spoke to him. And in the first three verses of our text, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It would be an understatement to call this a pivotal passage. Some have even called this the single most important passage in all the Bible. Everything that follows Genesis 12, everything all the way through the Old Testament, including the coming of Jesus, establishment of the church, and promise of Christ's return in the book of Revelation, all of it flows from this great promise to Abraham. For a moment, focus on this one thought. God found Abraham while he was still an idolater living in a pagan culture. There is not even the slightest hint in our text that Abraham was looking for God. But God was looking for him. Sometimes you hear people say, "I found the Lord." That's true, but he found you first. Salvation begins with God, not man. He always makes the first move. That's why the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It's not as though the human race formed a salvation committee and petitioned God for help. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now I wonder if you can see Christ in those first three verses of our text. Look again. He's there even though you won't see his name. Look at the very last phrase in verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's a pretty amazing promise if you think about it. How would one man like Abraham, who lived 4,000 years ago, bring a blessing to all peoples of the earth? I've already given you the answer earlier. What does Matthew 1 verse 1 say about Jesus? He's the son of Abraham. Abraham himself is not the blessing, but all the world will be blessed through his descendant, who would be born in Bethlehem 2,000 years later. That's why some people call this the most important passage in all the Bible. God is telling Abraham, "I'm going to give you some land, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation, and I'm going to bless the whole world through you." Now, Abraham didn't know how all of this was going to work out, but he didn't have to. All he had to do was believe it. We get the benefit of looking back across history and seeing just how amazing this promise of God really is. We know more about Abraham's call than he ever did because we know about Jesus. Now, I just said that Abraham didn't understand the full implications of what God had said to him. That's a slight understatement. It would be more correct to say that he didn't have a clue. Let's go back to verse 1 of our text for a moment and see what God asked him to do. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, go to the land I will show you. Abraham was being asked to forsake everything in order to follow God's call. What would you do? You're in the prime of life. You've got a good job, a nice nest egg, a home you like, friends you admire, neighbors who respect you. You're an upstanding, valuable part of the community. You've got a good future ahead of you. The last thing you want to do is move. And now God, who you've just met, wants you to leave everything, your family, your friends, your country, your home, your business, your security. What would you do? Let's for a moment imagine some dialogue between Abraham and God. Abraham, this is God speaking. I want you to leave everything and go to the land I will show you. Where's that? If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. Try me. It's 1,500 miles from here in a place called Canaan. Never heard of it. I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. That's impossible. I have no children. Don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Just trust me. Let me see if I've got this right. You want me to leave everything, travel across the desert to somewhere I've never been, and become the father of a great nation. Right. Is this some kind of joke? No. What am I supposed to tell my wife? That's your problem. This is a call that demands everything. God is telling Abraham to forsake everything and follow. Does that sound familiar? Christ says to us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. In other words, Jesus is saying that if we try to have a safe, risk-free life, then we're going to lose it. But if we give our lives fully to him, then we're going to find out what glory and purpose our lives were meant for. And this kind of life is not driven by adrenaline, but by the power of Christ working in us and through us. And so what God required of Abraham is what Christ requires of us. But Jesus says, leave your old ways, your old life, your old habits, and I will show you where to go. Forsake everything and follow me. The call of the gospel is total and complete. Jesus doesn't say, give me a couple of hours each Sunday. Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. No doubt many of Abraham's friends thought he was crazy. Why would anyone want to leave the city of Ur? Obeying God's call meant giving up his friends, his career, his traditions, his home, his position, his influence, and his country. More than that, it meant risking his health and his future on a vague promise from an unseen God to lead him to the land I will show you. But Hebrews 11, verse 8, tells us that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. When Abraham left Ur, he burned his bridges behind him. For him there would be no turning back. Once he left the walls of Ur, he was on his own, following God's call into the unknown. When God calls, there are no guarantees about tomorrow. Abraham truly didn't know where he was going, didn't know how he would get there, didn't know how long it would take, and didn't even know for sure he would know he was there when he got there. All he knew was that God had called him. Some time ago, I came across a remarkable statement by a pastor called Bruce Larson. He said that an inordinate desire for safety and security can be a sign of mental illness. That sort of shocked me when I first read it. But on further examination, it seems to make sense, because he was talking about those people who are so fearful for safety, the people who are so fearful and frightened that they never take any chances at all. They never stick their necks out. They never go out on a limb. They never try anything new. They live their lives doing the same old things over and over again. They are stuck in the rut of predictable, boring routine. The point is, we will never experience or even know the amazing things we can do unless we have the courage and boldness to take a step of faith, to take risks. Perhaps some of us today are only coasting. We are playing it safe. But I want us this morning to see that being in God's perfect will means we are going to be stretched. Many years ago, I remember watching the popular TV series Mission Impossible. Every episode began with a secret agent and a tape. The recorded voice would say, "Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is..." And then the mysterious voice would describe some wild and dangerous assignment with little chance of success or survival. Thankfully, the agent always said yes, and so he launched us into watching an hour of fast cars, dangerous women, exploding attaché cases, and daring deeds. There is a parallel, for at various points in our lives, God opens the door to unique experiences, opportunities, and challenges. Like in Mission Impossible, we can choose to accept these undertakings, these callings, or we can walk away. The choice is real. We can walk on the adventurous side of life and be an individual God selects for urgent kingdom missions, or we can close the door and close our life to experiences and memories that might have been ours, but now never will be. When we read the Bible, we find that God is looking for those who want an adventure with Him. Not only was Abraham called to leave his homeland, but Moses was called back to Egypt and to the wilderness. Esther, who learned of an evil plot to destroy all the Jews across the empire, was called to save her people. The wise men left home to follow a star. Peter was called to leave his fishing business. Lazarus was called out of the grave, and Zacchaeus was called out of the tree. In each situation, these people said yes to an adventure with God. Every Christian needs to have the attitude of an adventurer, for the life God has called you to live is an amazing life, and God is inviting you to go on a great adventure and mission with Him. The story of River of Life Church has been a story of a great God adventure in which people have trusted God and followed Him by faith. And there is nothing like being a part of something bigger and more important than we are as individuals. When God wants something done, when He has some kingdom mission impossible to accomplish, He goes looking for a man or a woman to take the assignment. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So what about you? Are you living a great adventure, or are you just watching, perhaps even envying those who are? God is looking for people who will take on risky operations of love and mercy. He's looking for men and women who will put His will above everything else in life. And every now and then, perhaps even today, His eye rests on you and He offers you that opportunity. I believe we are called for a greater purpose than just existence. In Galatians 3 verse 9, we are told that Abraham was the man of faith. And that's because he took huge risks. Let me ask you a personal question. How long do you expect to live? To put it more plainly, how many more years do you think you have before someone holds your funeral service? Is it 2 years? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 50 years? Even 60 years? How much of that time are you sure of? That last question is easy, because none of us are sure about any of it. The truth is, you or I could die tomorrow or today from any one of 1,000 causes. No one knows how long we will live or precisely when we will die. There are no guarantees for any of us. And so it's not how long we live that matters, but what we do with the years we are given. Too many die at 25 years old, but aren't buried until they're 75. They waste their best years in trivial pursuits, all the while missing out on the excitement of living by faith. If there's one thing that people really hate, it's change. But the problem with choosing to stay in our comfort zone is that it can come with a terrible price tag, one with eternal consequences. How can a stationary person come to his senses? It's a moving of the mind. It's like coming out of a coma, a lethargy, and saying to ourselves, "I'm better than this." And so the best thing to have liberated is our mind, For it's with the mind that we embrace the promises of God. Abraham was a man who didn't play it safe. For at the height of his prosperity, he left Ur of the Chaldees, taking his wife with him. He set out for regions unknown because God had promised to show him a better land. So often we allow ourselves to be content with the tiniest fraction of what God intended us to experience. We talk about God more than we talk to him. We passively participate in the adventures of others, in stories of adventures, rather than living those adventures with him. There is more to life than this. There are real life rescue missions behind enemy lines. There are captives to be found and released. There are doors that will open at the most extraordinary times and in the most extraordinary places. There are voyages of faith and courage with your name on them, should you choose to accept them. Maybe God has been trying all these years to get you to want what he wants for you. Yes, it's hard to receive what we don't want. It's hard to want what God wants when our wants have been defined by our sinful willfulness and stubbornness. When God started with Abraham, it all started out with one simple word, move. But how many of us get stuck at the word move? When I was in hospital the other week, God said to me, move out of your bed and pray for the man in the bed opposite you. From overheard conversations, I knew that the man opposite me probably hadn't got long to live. Yet I felt compelled to get out of my comfortable bed and go over to the man and start a conversation. Eventually, I was able to pray for him. I know that God answers big prayers, but on this occasion, I just felt I should pray he would have a comfortable night's rest and feel better in the morning so he would know that God cares for him and loves him. Overnight, I was moved to a different ward, but the next day I dropped by and I could see that he'd visibly improved, and he was so pleased to see me and so grateful to God. Most of the time, the best part of an adventure isn't the adventure at all. It's the people we get to know along the way. The greatest adventure you and I could possibly go on is an adventure with God. And so we need to seek adventures that come with sharing the message of Jesus. These adventures may be found among a tribe on the slopes of the Himalayas or an igloo in the Arctic. Or it may be as close as our own neighborhood. It may mean giving up your lunch with friends and eating with someone who doesn't have any friends. It may mean putting down your phone or turning off the TV and having a conversation with someone instead. It may be a big adventure or the combination of a lot of little ones. But the thing is, we will never do anything, see anything, or accomplish anything for the Lord if we just sit around, afraid to do anything. God is looking for people who are willing to say, if you ask me to do something, I'll do it. Those are the people who will change the world. God is a God of purpose. He's given us the world, yet some of us are happy to settle for an easy existence. Yes, God can answer our prayer, and he can move us into our destiny. But before he can give it to us, he has to get us out of our comfortable seclusion. Comfort can cancel out progress. Comfort can cause resistance to change. But Jesus wants us to change. And so living the adventure of our calling requires courage and a willingness to confront new and unfamiliar challenges. If we want what God has for us, then we need to step up and risk coming out of our box and grabbing what God has for us. It's no good taking a back seat, for God wants to stretch us. He may not put you into the job or situation for money, because it's not about the money, it's about the mission he has for you. Discovering and living your calling is an adventure that entails risk. For Jesus never hesitated in telling people to leave their familiar lives for the unfamiliar path of following him. I believe Jesus is doing exactly the same thing in the hearts of his people today, and that includes you and me. He's stirring our hearts to do something for his glory, for this is a season for challenging whatever is limiting us. So get ready to take a risk like you've never done before and tell the devil he has had his chance, but it's too late now because I'm coming out of my box. I'm forgetting those parts that are behind, and I'm reaching out to God for whatever adventure he has for me. The greatest and most amazing adventure you'll ever know begins the moment you say yes to God's call on your life. Just as Abraham did long ago, will you step out in faith to God's call today? Thanks be to God. Amen.